It moves quickly when you're never home. Back after this with Dave.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is having like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Beck.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
Presents
At the Races with Steve Beck.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. And we got Dave Granick because, you know, it's Wood Memorial Day. I got to have Dave Granick.
What's happening, Steve? Congratulations on your well-deserved Kentucky Thoroughbred Association Award.
Well, thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it. And it was a lovely evening. And I'm glad I didn't have a heart attack and miss it. As happened last year or year before the Del Mar. Dave, this is a fascinating Wood Memorial.
It is interesting. Steve, before we get there, just get a little breaking news here from Keith McCalmont of NYRA. Just tweeted out that White of Barrio has spiked the temperature after shipping up from Florida and will scratch from the Grade 1 quarter.
Ooh.
So. He claimed, the tweet goes on to say that his wood horses are okay, Lord Miles and Knox. So take White of Barrio out of the Carter and just coronate Rebo Rock's Red Way. But yes, going back to the wood, it is an interesting race. I was listening to my colleague, former colleague, I guess, the Hall of Famer, Jay Pridman, before, as I was driving in here. And I would have to say that I do not see the race the same way as he does. I don't see a ton of speed in the race because I don't think horse like Arctic Arrogance, when they're taking the blinkers off, I don't think they want to be on the lead. And I guess on a horse like Uncle Jake would show some speed. And I would think that a horse like Slip Mahoney with a better break than the Gotham would show speed, but I don't see a ton of other speed in the race. I'd have to, you know, consult with him and see what he saw, because I don't see a ton of speed in the race.
Interesting. All right. So what? How do we build tickets?
This race kind of floors me. I you know, Hit Show being out there, I'm probably going to contradict myself here, but Hit Show at a short price being in post 12, I just don't like. Obviously, he's the best horse. I will concur with Mr. Pribman. I did like the way he finished off this race. I do think he's better, though. I didn't think the Withers was a great deal. Arctic Arrogance and General Banker are nice horses, but I don't necessarily think they're upper crust. The horse, I guess, and again, this is where I contradict myself, is Classic Catch, who was also parked outside. He was assigned post 11, but he's now going to be post 10 because of the scratch of Clear the Air. He's going to run in the Bluegrass. I don't know. This horse, I go back and forth on this horse. He strikes me as that one of those horses that Todd has that wants a mile and an eighth but doesn't do it very quickly. I did think his allowance race at Gulfstream, though, was pretty solid. And in talking to Todd, I got the impression he thinks this horse is flying under the radar a little bit. And I don't totally disagree. People are looking at Dreamlike, his maiden in there, because he's got some fast numbers, but it's still a maiden. He found ways to get beat, and they're experimenting with him the blinkers on. I was looking up. I couldn't remember. Right before you called, I did look it up because I couldn't remember. There was a horse. There was a maiden who ran second in the Wood in 2016.
Yes.
In Trojan Nation for Patrick Gallagher, but he was 81-1. He was second to Outwork, one of Todd's seven Wood Memorial winners. DreamWorks not going to be 81-1. So, do I want to take? Here's my dilemma. Do I want to take Hit Show at 5-2 from the outside, or Dreamlike, a maiden, at 7-2 on the inside with blinkers and having not won? And I'm thinking my answer on both is no. So I don't know. Classic Cash, two wins at a mile and eighth, maybe improving. He's listed at 10-1 on the morning line. I know he's coming off Lasix, but he did win here in maiden race, which again was not a very fast race. But the track back in November, I think, is a little different than it is now. I think it was much more demanding. I just think he's got a good bottom underneath him, and I think he can work out a decent trip. Because again, my standpoint, I don't see a ton of pace in here, and I think he can, get out and get away into a decent position, and has the stamina to keep on. Is he good enough? We'll know that around 6:20, but I think at 10-1, he's worth the shot.
Interesting. And for those of you that were with us last week, when it comes to 8-1 or 10-1 shots, Dave Grenning is your guide. He is the pathfinder. After delivering $19 affirmative lady, I came into the communications office yelling genius.
Well, even the blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes. So we landed on one last week.
Well, you're
thank you for the props.
Well, you're the Helen Keller of blind squirrels, then.
There you go.
That was pretty good. They write themselves, folks. Work backwards. Let's now we've got No White of Barrio to deal with, and Repo Rocks. Unless somebody is going to jump in and try to tackle, what do you think?
With Repo Rocks.
Yeah.
Look, today's Flavors runs some really nice races, and he's done it on the lead. It's a different kettle of fish that he's going to be facing here. I don't know what, Expressman has never run back to that race that he ran at Saratoga. Repo Rocks, he's just, he's pretty consistent, and, he's found a new lease on life. The horse has run some good numbers before. Like, he had a 99 buyer when Greg DePrima had him in an opening day allowance race at Belmont in 2022 and lost his way and has rediscovered his, he's Jamie Ness and talking to him. Says, look, I think previous trainers, whether it was Suprema or maybe Juan Vasquez, sort of maybe went easier on this horse, and he's gone hard, trained the horse hard, and then he's accepted it, and he rebounds nicely, and he's run some really nice races. I thought Wolfson last time sort of overthought it, knowing that he was trying to get the mile for the first time, and he kind of overthought his ride, and I thought the horse overcame. And I think Wolfson would agree with it. I don't think, you know, and it was a nice win, but I don't think Wolfson would put that on his highlight film from a ride. And now without his main threat, White of Barrio, in here, I just think it's his race to lose. And I question Little Vic a little bit going, at 7/8. I think he's a better 3/4 horse. And again, today's flavor, he's run all his races at 6 or 6.5. So I just think the form that the horse is in right now, and he will stub his toe at some point in time. I'm not so sure it's going to be tomorrow.
This Bold Journey, the New York bred, Hertrick and Fielding, owned by Adam Wachtel and Panta Fe and company. That was some effort.
It was against average New York breds, and it was 3/4. It was 7/8. Yeah. 0/2. I don't see it. I guess I'll look at it this way, Steve. Look, if you believe Repo Rocks is going to trip up at some point in time, and you think it might be tomorrow, then I guess you could go anywhere. But I don't know where I would go. I guess I would go to Little Vic, even though I'm a little leery of him at 7/8. I know he won the City of Laurel at 7/8 back in November. I just don't know that that's his best game. I don't know. I've had a hard time. Hard time going against the Repo Rocks the form he's in and what others are trying to do.
Let's talk about the 3-year-old sprinting, and here's a Bayshore that has some intrigue.
Okay, found it to be a very weak race.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not competitive.
Right, I guess it's, I mean, look, I think one of the interesting horses in here, I don't know how he'll be bet, and I don't know what to expect from him, is Gilmore. He won for Bob Baffert at Los Al going a 2-turn mile. They tried the El Camino Real on synthetic, and he ran second as the favorite to chase the chaos. They sent him to, maybe Derby in mind. They sent him to Brendan Walsh, the owners did. He tried the Battaglia, didn't really run that great in the Battaglia. Back on dirt, back to 1 turn. He's kind of interesting in here against a suspect group. You've got horses like Expected Value and Victory Way, who I'm sure would have loved to have run in a 1X, as probably would have Arabato for Chatterpaw. Daydreaming Boy comes in from Parks, where Parks runners have been running very well lately.
Yep.
And I guess another interesting horse, Prove Right, Chapman was initially going to appoint Drew's Gold, the Jimmy Wingfield winner, to this race, but it became apparent rather quickly that he was going to miss the race because he got sick. And then Prove Right, the one thing you look at Prove Right, and he's running it back in 1 week, but the other 2 times that he's done this, he's won. Now, or he finished first. He got DQ'd out of a win at Timonium in August. But the difference here, and the difference between that and this, is he was going from a stake at Saratoga. In August, he went from a stake at Saratoga to an allowance at Timonium. And then in December at Laurel, he went from a stake, where he didn't run any good in the Remsen, to an other than at Laurel. So this time he's going from an allowance to a stake. However, it's not that tough a stake. So, and he's drawn nicely on the outside. It'd be interesting to see what he does. I think my ultimate selection, though, would be Joey Freshwater. Linda Rice claimed this horse for $50,000 out of a race at Churchill in November. What a starter here. Third in the Wingfield, then got beat a neck to a 35-1 shot in an A other than. What my concern is with this horse is he's a little bit green still. I think he's getting better with racing experience. Watched his last race, the A other than, where he got beat, that it looked like he was going to win. He didn't change leads until very late, and he's getting there. Maybe tomorrow's not the day, tomorrow's the day. I'm not sure, but I just think he's an improving sort that, you know, once he figures it all out and just runs straight and doesn't give his riders any issues, I think he'll be okay. Carmouche rides. Carmouche did win on him first time, on New Year's Day. So I would go a slight lean to Joey Freshwater.
Okay. Off that allowance performance, did break the maiden at 6.5 when they nabbed this horse. I think it's a fun group, and I'm not sure what I'm doing yet. I'll decide tomorrow. How about the Gazelle? Let's talk about which of the Chads are most compelling. And then there's Brad Cox on the rail with Capella for Judmont.
Yeah, this is an interesting group. Not necessarily. I don't know if we have Kentucky Oaks types in here. I'm sorry. I'm sure the winner will go. A Colt, I thought was is the one to beat. I loved her. I liked her. Busanda, she beat Gambling Girl, who's back in here, and then an Affirmative Lady was third that day, and she had, as we talked about, she came back and has won two in a row since. The issue with the Colt, obviously, is a near 3-month layoff. Chad just didn't feel like there was a logical spot in between that race. He didn't want to come back to the Busher at a mile, and he didn't want to ship her out of town, so there really was no sensible race for him to run her in that he thought made sense anyway. So he just trained her up to it, and a mild winter has helped him. Been able to not miss any training, and he'll be mostly on a regular schedule. I think she might have missed one work, but she worked March 6th and then didn't work into March 18th. That might have been wet track oriented there, but. I think she definitely wants every part of this mile and eighth, which is something that we don't know about the rest of them. Should a booty Chad's other horse? Look, I'm not going to knock an undefeated horse. She does have to show herself at a mile and an eighth, and we'll see what goes on there. But Compella should appreciate the mile and eighth. I think that's what Brad believes. Coming off of a 2-turn race at the synthetic, she is a half sister to Bonnie South, was a Rachel Alexandra winner, I believe, or Fairgrounds Oaks winner from a year ago. I guess the unknown quantity here or how good she is Frosty O'Toole. First time for Pletcher is 2-for-2 on the dirt. Both wins coming with Lasix and blinkers on at Tampa Bay Downs at a mile and 40 yards when in the barn of Mike Deeney. From what I understand, Eclipse tried to buy her after the maiden win. They were rebuked. They came back with a better, an offer I guess they couldn't refuse. Deeney couldn't refuse after the allowance win. And now they have a filly that they hope can, win a stakes. First time for them, and maybe make the Kentucky Oaks.
Well,
hard to throw anybody out of this spot, including Dramasir America, who's definitely got the pedigree to stretch out to the mile and eighth. It is an interesting group. I don't know if it's a Kentucky Oak, if we have a Kentucky Oaks winner in here, but I think it's an interesting six pack. I don't think you throw anybody out with confidence. In fact, I'm a little surprised they put it as the third. As six horse fields go, this one I think is, I don't think we have a 1-to-5 shot in here that's going to have power over the field.
No, I agree. Graham Motion and Company. They're walking by just perfect timing because, of course, the trainer of Affirmative Lady. And he heard you, and he was pointing at the phone. I love it.
I sent him a text congratulating him and also thanking him for making me look smart for once.
Ha. Well, it's a fun card, and if I'm not mistaken, we got a carryover today, correct?
Yeah, 31,000, I believe. We have an 8-race card. We're back on the turf today. We've got three grass races. The turf course looks good for New York in April. I'd say that I think the horsemen who come up from Florida will certainly like this course better than the one they've been running on, at least in South Florida. So we're back on the grass. We've got a stake. We've got the distaff today.
That's
interesting,
right.
Interesting group there with, Funny Howe trying to run her winning streak up to six. And the return of Gerrymander A Mother Goose winner from a year ago. That's an interesting group and an interesting, leg in the sequence of the pick six. I don't know that there's a, I don't know that that is the leg that you're going to be, I guess you cut it down. I actually like Pass the Champagne. Pass the Champagne, Gerrymander, and Funny How, maybe you can get through it with those three.
Well, the carryover triggered yesterday by my man, by Siaka. And I tell you, I think Maddie Oliver, I think most of her wins have been with Gary, right?
I don't think so, only because that was Gary's first win of the year. So but any other wins that she had this year did not come for Gary.
In the fall or the winter, I'm pretty sure that he had a win with her as well in December, I think.
Okay,
Maddie Oliver. Yeah, she's got she's up to seven wins. Good for her. And 9 seconds and 14 thirds. She's got seven wins this year.
This year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. She's. It was a tough year to be a buck in New York. Gomez was at it. Torres is really doing well. So I just did a quick check. The Siaka over combo is 2 for 3 with a $27.96 ROI after that $71 winner yesterday. So, so 2 for 3 in their careers together with a whopping almost $28 ROI. But going back, it's been a tough year to be a bug rider. In New York, we had some good ones. Gomez obviously just lost it about a month ago. Torres is just went to a 5-pound bug now, and we'll see what these guys do once the big boys come back in May. If they, pivot to Monmouth or try to make do here, but it's been fun so far. We only got 10 days left here at the Big A, and looking forward. Belmont Main Track opens for training on Tuesday, and Clement's back. So the spring has sprung. It's sort of like the groundhog sees his shadow. That's in February, and Clement sees the training track in April, and spring is here.
Well, and the other bug we should mention, Jason Weiss, who's riding.
Yes, doing way well as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, he's riding for us in the nightcap on Cherzando today again. He's riding back, and taking the 5 pounds. So see if Gary can't win the nightcap 2 days in a row. That'd be big.
That'd be big.
And could use it. Dave Grenig, everybody, DRF Grenig, and the Wood Memorial Day, and the Harbinger. We're less than 100 days away from Saratoga, and the Belmont.
Just another thing. So my horse in the Pass the Champagne has been scratched out of the staff, listed as a vet scratch. So. Scratch that one. We won't be picking the winner of the Distaff this year.
That's all right. Look at elsewhere, and Belmont Main Track opens for training Tuesday.
Yes, it does.
There we go. And of course, I hinted about it, but don't forget season passes now on sale for Saratoga. Unbelievable deal, $75, which includes Travers admission. Cannot be beat. Because general admission on Travers Day is $25. So get yourself your season pass to the spa, and you'll be coming this year to Saratoga.
That's what they tell me. And just one last thing. Just saw Rick Dutrow back to work this morning. Yep. He's got two horses in his barn. One, a filly called Recognize, who was third in the P.G. Johnson last year when trained by Belmont. And they did claim a horse. He did claim a horse for Sandy Goldfarb yesterday, Dame Cinco. He's been granted 10 stalls. We'll probably fill them up in about a half an hour. And then, we'll look for more.
Outstanding.
But it's nice to see Rick back. I know he's a controversial figure, but 10 years was a bit too long.
To say the least. By today's standards, not that controversial. Dave, thanks a lot. Good luck. Enjoy the weekend, and we will talk. We'll talk probably when you get here for Derby.
Sounds good.
Dave Grenig, everybody. There it is. Let's get the hammer. We got plenty to do, and we've got 45 minutes to do it. I'm watching for Lenny Shulman, who might show up at any time, and looking forward to that. Oh, and I just got word from my wife, from the wifey. Tina is tuning in. I have to put up a picture she sent last night, late, I had my baseball draft for my long-running rotisserie league, and went late to the night, and I get these pictures, and we knew that these deer have been coming on the lawn because they leave evidence of their presence. She was up late herself. Today starts her Easter break, and we'll be together in New Orleans starting Sunday. And she sends these pictures. There's like five deer on our front lawn. And they're like looking in the window. It's like those crazy pictures and video you see. They literally were like looking at her in the living room. It's very funny. I'll put the picture up. I think people will get a big kick out of it. Let's check in with Hammer and find out about, because I have not talked to him. He left on Tuesday. And, okay, they canceled the one flight, and I figured, all right, yeah, he's all right, he's on his way. And the next thing I know, I get a text from him at, like, 4:30 in the morning his time, that he had just gotten home. Tell me what happened, because everything seemed okay when I dropped you back off at Bluegrass.
Well, that was the key when you dropped me back off after... you know, the old, I was supposed to get home at 8:31. I just looked because I wrote a letter to the airline. And I walked in the door after a shuttle and an Uber ride at 2:37 a.m.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, because you texted me. It was 5:30 my time. But yeah, so that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
2:30. Jeez. Eesh.
Luke. Well, it's the typical airline. When they tell you it's going to be a 20-minute delay, it's never a 20-minute delay. Just tell me it's going to be 3 hours so I can relax. You know what I mean? And anyway, I had a trip that I was due for. I was having such good luck on traveling. So I had two cancellations and guess what? And a 6-hour delay. But once I got to where I was supposed to get, I had a great time. So, anyway. is Dave there with you?
No, he's back in New York. He's in New York.
Oh, okay. I mean, you made it sound like he was live. But back home and back to California, normal California, sunny. It's going to be 75, 80 this weekend. And so no worry about training, no worry about racing. And as a... They go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then take basically like a 9-day break, which would be well needed, and come back firing. But it's nice to have a great day, a great weekend, especially for the card that they put on there at Santa Anita tomorrow. Congratulations to you on your Charles Engelhardt Award. Is that correct?
That is. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Well deserved, of course. And you got Lenny coming in later, and I have to smile because, every time I think of Lenny now, I think of our experience there in Lexington not too long ago. But the only show that I watched on the plane was Curb Your Enthusiasm. And so you mentioned Lenny, I got to just, Larry David, got to love him. But anyway, good to be back here. A lot of stuff going on at Santa Anita this weekend. It's the traditional 5K run, which starts off Santa Anita Derby Day. And for the locals, you can register between 6:30 and 8. And they do a little run wherever they go, but they finish up coming down the stretch at Santa Anita, so it's very cool. And, you get thousands of people that do this, especially on a nice day. So that kicks off the day.
And we've got a jackpot giveaway tomorrow. They're predicting $3 million in the pool, so that's tomorrow, mandatory pick six giveaway. And what else we got? Oh, there's a challenge. There's a handicapping contest. I don't want to miss that. Santa Anita Derby Challenge. You can play at Santa Anita at Gulfstream and on ExpressBet. It's a $1,500 buy-in and the usual NHC seats. There's a Kentucky Derby Challenge prize pool and, of course, cash. And we'll expect the usual suspects in that. Those usually are well attended. And we got that going and a good card of racing here and around the country. I kept shooting out. I had to replace the old printer cartridge last night, printing all the PPs out. So it's 4 weeks away, and it's time to roll.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the Santa Anita Challenge. I also want to throw in that Wood Memorial has got a $1,000 buy-in challenge. Okay. That's for cash prizes and the BCBC seat. So plenty of action available, and that is also on track or online. So same kind of thing. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people who will play in both. And Hammer,
yeah.
We've had a number of opinions already offered, and no sooner did you mention Lenny Shulman does he waltz right in on set and here and
he's a rumba.
You rumbaed onto set, exactly. So Lenny is here. He's
great.
He's
walk right in and sit right down.
Exactly. Lenny's gonna. I guess he's gonna work from the periphery because he doesn't. I don't think he wants to hone in on you because he knows you're. I don't know if he heard you making fun of him about the keys yet. It was invoked, though, Lenny. You knew there was no way. It remains one of the great moments in the show's history.
Well, that's not even a question. And, to this day, I still eat ice cream with a fork. And I try to pawn that off on the waitresses when they come back, when I ask them about the fork. What do you need the fork for? I said, I eat the ice cream. Eat ice cream with a fork. You'll never go back. Anyway, that's a Larry David moment. Oh boy! But okay, where do you want to go?
Well, do you want to do Santa Anita yourself, and then if you've got any wider opinions of the three-year-old races, feel free.
Okay, so you mentioned the cross country on Saturday. I got the notes here for that one. I think it's races 3, 5, and 6 here at Santa Anita, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 3, 5, 6 is right. 3, 5, 6.
3, 5, 6. Going back,
8 and 10.
Yes.
At Gulfstream.
So the third race at Santa Anita, I come up with the 7. Carmelita's Man 7-5-1. I did that earlier yesterday, and then I ran into Dean Peterson, who's an old friend of mine from Northern California, and I don't see him that often. And the last time I saw him, he won a race. I actually said to him yesterday, you know what? I think you got one in tomorrow. I said, next time I see you, I just saw you, you're going to win one. And then I went, when I was doing the thing, I looked, oh, it's Dean's horse. Not that it had anything to do with it, but I went 7-5-1 in the third. And the Charles Whittingham, a lot of these, they kind of run similar races back and forth. Gold Phoenix, of course, coming off that big mile win, stretching back out. But I think the pace thing, the way it all sets up, I think it's Master of Foxhounds' turn again. I went 6-7-2 in there. Dicey Mochera has beaten these occasionally, so he could be in there. But I just like the way the race sets up for that. Santa Anita Derby, we'll start that one off early. Talk about that first three-year-old race. A nice race. A good race, competitive. I went back and watched the San Felipe, three or four times trying to get a read on it. Go Rocket Ride, it was the second race back, and it's tough to go obviously three quarters into a mile and 16th graded stake. He ran good. I don't know if he ran. I don't know. He was asked on the turn a lot. He didn't make up a lot of ground. And he hung on to second there. Wasn't really making up ground at the end as practical moves away. So I don't know. I think he ran a big one last time. I don't know if he's going to be able to repeat that. Not as high as I was before I watched Skinner. He had broken his maiden the time before going long. He made a little bit of a premature move down the backstretch. If they can hold him off a little bit, Victor, and wait to make that run later, I think he'll be there. I'm gonna look for the goofball horse, meaning horse that wasn't in that race. And National Treasure, Gary Young had mentioned a couple days ago when I talked to him, we weren't really talking horses, and he mentioned that National Treasure, the work the other day looked good. He just kind of has that feel like he's going to run a good race. Johnny V has never won the Santa Anita Derby, so this might be as good a time as any for that. A horse with a shot is the one horse, Doug O'Neill, just because it's Doug O'Neill. He puts his horse in here off a maiden win. And we're just seeing so many horses nowadays, running in these races off maiden wins. Usually you discount them, but you can't anymore. It's becomes most of the fields in a lot of these races. So I went six five. I got to look at my 6-5-7-1 in here. Practical Move ran a great race. I just think that he doesn't have to win. And live when I watched the race again and again, I mean, he kind of just inside the 16th pole took off again. I think he's a real deal. You keep hearing the distance things, limitations. Right now, I think a mile and eighth for sure is within his reach. I think maybe he can, he's not going to be geared up to win, as he doesn't need to win. So I'm going National Treasure in that one.
All right.
And that's the way, let's see, we got a couple other good races. You mentioned the old Echo Eddie with Kangaroo Court and Buzz. Two fast cowbreds. And I'm going to have to, he's had Jeff Franklin on starting to have him on with the Thoroughgraphs. And I got to get a hold of them. I'm back to looking. I'm getting confused again about the numbers. Here's Kangaroo Court, ones that runs an 8-3 and gets a 2. And you've got horses, other places running 10s and 11s and getting negative numbers. I got to ask them about that. I hadn't seen that in a while. I'm starting to get the shift now, where it seemed like some of the numbers on the East Coast seem to be a little bit different than the ones out here when the times are, 2-3 seconds apart. So I got to ask him about that. But Kangaroo Court and Buzz. Maybe it's Buzz's turn. Those two are two fast cowbreds. You rarely see, the two kind of statebreds that compete against each other right back three times in a row. I'm going for the old 3-2, 3-2-5 in there. Left hand man, another one that just broke his maiden for Mark Latt. Looks to be okay. If these two kind of, run out of gas, left hand man can pick up the pieces. What else do we have? We have that, we have the Monrovia.
Yeah, down the hill.
Oh, my gosh. That is a super, super race. You have horses in there that have been really good on the course, and then you have some newcomers coming in, the horses that have been coming, running a little bit longer and dropping down. Boy, I went up and down here. I'm gonna say that it's going to be Big Summer's turn. She has done well on this turf, and she got beaten neck last time to Freedom Flyer. Amy C is unbeaten on this turf for Phil D'Amato. He's tough to pass up in here. I gave the John Sadler horse, Kristen Bosch, the one that's never been here, but just has that perfect look, has run decent enough on the turf to check that box, but dropping down from a real good race, the Beholder Mile, the La Cañada, La Brea, some real nice races. She might be the good newcomer here at a decent price. She's 15, and on the outside, Freedom Flyer. So I went 9-8-6-11 in there, and you could pick four other ones and still be fine. Awaken Midnight is one of the O'Neill horses that's at 15 on the two. Never been on the course. Actually, he's only run on the turf one time. It didn't run bad, but that's been a long time, too. But there's another one of those goofball horses that could be fine. And then in the Santa Anita Oaks, some nice horses in there. I went with and Tell Me No Lies, the Peter Miller horse, second time off the layoff, has done well out here in Southern California. Faiza, of course, the Bob Baffert's horse would be favored. His nine shoots, 9-5 in the program, probably go down a little bit further. And then Clearly Unhinged, Michael McCarthy. Looked real good breaking her maiden, stretching out a little bit. But as we said, that's what they do nowadays. So I went 8-5-3 in there on Santa Anita, and you know, a lot of work. Some of these races, not just here, but all across, you know, in Kentucky and Aqueduct. I just seem to spend a lot more time than normal. I know I'm still not done. Did you find that out too, Steve? It wasn't a circle and go type of day.
No, I mean there's a couple of spots that are, I think, a little bit more, you know, a little formful. But you know, then you start folding in the maiden work and the allowances. I mean, for instance, the nightcap. I mean, for those that want to play the late portion, you know, you do have plenty of options. I mean, the late pick five does include race 12, which is a full field going a mile on the grass.
I didn't even get to it yet. So, unfortunately, you know, I'm back to when I was here. You know, they signed these deals. We got to run the darn, they got to run the Santa Anita Derby. I keep saying we, but it's they. They got to run the Santa Anita Derby. It's a sixth race. And so it keeps it out of the pick six. It keeps it out of the pick five. I mean, I don't know. The West Coast always kind of gets nailed on those. So you know, you say, oh, we're going to be on TV. Great. Well, we're on TV. We're on TVG. We're on this. We're on that. So, you know, I don't know. Part of the deal, I'll keep my mouth shut before I get in trouble. But here we are running the biggest race of the year, maybe so far, and it's in the middle of the card. But the rest of the card's good, so the rainbow sequence will definitely be challenging. I think you'll get paid if you hit this, especially with the big carry. There'll be a lot of money in that pot for sure. Quickly, the Wood. I got to have two versions of the Wood because when I printed out the Wood, the old 13 horse was on the third page, right, solo, and so I handicapped 12 horses, and I got through it, and I'm thinking, and then I read an article, and I'm thinking, where's that horse? And I looked, and I go, ooh, he's on the outside, 13 hit show. Kind of reminds us a little bit, Steve, of the Florida Derby, just in the fact that the best horse is on, you know, towards the outside, and you know, we'll need to get a trip to get there. I got a lot of X's and O's around here. And I, you know, Dreamlike, I watched his race. He went off at 1-5. He had every reason to go by this, you know, 25-1 shot. He didn't. And I'm thinking, if he can't do it in a maiden race, and I'm not going there. Slip Mahoney. So here's the race. He runs, you know, that mile at 1:38. I can't get out of my head. And he got a 3 for that. I don't see him in there. I like Linda Rice's horse, Arctic Arrogance. What's wrong with that horse? You know, gets beat a half length in the Remsen and the Jerome. Comes back, you know, running against the same horse, hit show. She takes the blinkers off. I don't know. Going to be a decent price. Maybe gets a better trip than the outside horse in there. And, you know, so I ended up 7-13-11 in there. We'll try and get a little bit of a price. And, you know, at least Arctic Arrogance, it has performed consistently in graded races and, you know, not taking a maiden or a maiden winner in there. So I kind of ended up on him.
You mentioned that Classic Catch has gotten a little bit of attention this morning.
Of the ones of Todd's, he seemed to be the best. He's been, you know, he's been used. He's been bet just like he's a nice horse and taking the allowance race way up instead of going right into the stake. And has won at the distance. You got to like that. He's proven he's won at the modern eighth, and that was his last run. So that helps. So I like him at a little bit of a price. I mean, this could be another one of those 50-to-1 shot years too. What was that horse, Bourbonette or whatever came?
Bourbonic.
Yeah, close. And you know, it's funny. The other day when we were going through the lineup, I was going to say, is that Kruby still a maiden? And
yep.
I don't want to say anything here, but yes, he is. And you know, has he won a race that could be possible in here? I guess he has. You know, he got beat in neck to Slip Mahoney. This is a very perplexing race. Like I said, I went with Arctic Eras. I know the horse is going to be in the race, and you know, maybe what goes on behind him will mess things up a little bit, and he'll forget to stop this time. So, and then we get to the Bluegrass. I had a tough time with this race. I just went over and over and over, not real looking at a standout. Watched the Tappet Trice race, ran impressively, not a whole lot behind. So I'm on the second page here. I've heard a lot of verifying this morning. No reason, you know, not to like him. Not taking him on top. I went with Kenny McPeak, Sun Thunder. He's a price. He's got a race. You've got the Risen Star race. If he runs back to that, puts him right there. The last race, King's Barnes. I mean, what can you do? You know, chasing that slow pace, he had no shot. So I like Sun Thunder a little bit. Race Kane, same thing. He's got to have a trip. You're in a good race in the Gotham. You'll have to pass the dirt test or the fast test there at Aqueduct. But I went 7-10-8 in there, hoping that Blazing Stevens run out of it. Now I've got a future bet on him, so that's part of the reason I got to at least throw him in there so I can root for him. But great day of racing. I mean, it's time, you know, put some money in the accounts or you know, try and beef it up a little bit today. But I think this is the first really good triple day we've had in a while. So buckle up.
Well, no, it should be a great weekend. And out there, Hammer will be watching, and plenty of coverage on TV networks, both NBC and Fox, and then, of course, FanDuel as well. And, in fact, Caton, we've got to see if we can't find Caton here from this last half hour. Get lucky, Rick, we will reconvene next week. We'll start to sift through the sands, and we'll have Oaks and Derby fields pretty well assembled.
I think so. So enjoy Kentucky, and if everybody... If you're near a racetrack, this is the time to go. Go to the races, get off the couch, and get out there. So we'll see you at the track.
Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go. And here we come with Lenny Shulman, who is, you want to use the mic, you want to use the headset, whatever you'd like. I know that hair, you probably want the mic.
Oh, at the germs, I want the mic.
No, nobody's used. Nobody's used the mic today. it's been sitting there.
It's very good. I know why you have me here today. You need somebody to help you move the chairs back when you finish.
Well, I've come to really love this spot.
Have you?
I was here for the sale and Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
They put us down here, the media, auxiliary media. And it's nice. I mean, there's horsemen coming up the hill and passing through. And, of course, because it's the first opening day and all week, things shifted from Turfway, the Kentucky Racing Commission.
All the licensees are walking through. A lot of jockeys have walked through in
exactly.
the last 10 minutes.
Exercise riders and back stretch staff and people coming back from fairgrounds and Oaklawn and Gulfstream and such. So it's that transition.
Several members of the Backstreet Boys also walked through.
The couple of things you made me think of. And immediately lose the thoughts. You couldn't join me on Wednesday, but that storm did come through as feared.
I did have my electricity go out, but I felt like a schnook for not coming because I wanted to honor you, and I hope it went well, much deserved. And sorry to have missed that, especially since Frank Angst told me the food was good.
it's a lovely place, this apiary. And I certainly was aware of this function. I did not realize that that Broodmare of the Year award is a big, important thing that goes back to post-war. It started in 1946 with Bloodroot, but some of the names, Hildeen in there, Traffic Court, Swoon, Miss Disco, Pocahontas, on and on. I mean, Something Royal, and then you know you get into the more modern era. There's Ruffian's Dam, Shenanigans. Sure. Oh, sure, yeah. Cosma, Shenanigans, Sweet Tooth, Primanetta, Best in Show, Courtly D. This is a who's who. Grecian Banner, Tollbooth, Weekend Surprise, Trained by.
Ooh, Neil Howard.
Del Carroll.
Okay. I just visited her grave about a month ago, actually.
Well, because everything AP Indy is Lenny. Yeah. Lenny.
Well, listen, Lane's End, I mean, everybody knows it's a gorgeous farm, but not that many people know about the cemetery there, which is in back of the paddock, and it is, I mean, you could spend an hour just, you know, crying and thinking and remembering and... wow, you know, everyone from Gulch, Weekend Surprise, Pleasant Tap. I mean, you just go down the, you know, Lassie Deer, Weekend Surprise's Dam. And, of course, AP has his own spot out front and with the statue. But we were out there visiting Flightline, and it looks great. But that that cemetery is just one of the places.
I got to go out for the first time, Rite Aid for the sale, which was really, we'll be doing that, you know, particularly here, obviously, when we're in Churchill or at Keeneland. It's a unique opportunity to go to the Night of Stars and then, you know, the first couple of days of the Keeneland bloodstock sale. And with Mr. Fipke, it was nice. Sid Fernando, nice enough to invite me out to go to see him, and that was literally, you know, within hours of having won. And they say that he took to, you know, the downtime, that he took to it immediately. I mean, he understood what was going on, but I had never been there, and so seeing the APND grave and the statue, I mean, it sort of frames that whole open area between the stud barns. It's quite cool. I'm looking forward. I'm not going to do it this. I got an invitation. Diana Baker wants me to come out to Three Chimneys, so we'll do that when we come back for Derby, and we're going to probably do a. Got to do a Lapa too. I haven't been out to see the new farm with John Secura.
Well, you do need to go out there, and that's that could be an entire day, actually. The trails through the woods into the water and, you know, away from the facilities, away from the barns and the office and the residence, it's remarkable. And anybody who's seen Seabiscuit, you know, those scenes where Seabiscuit is back being ridden again for the first time and going through the woods and through the trails, it's all a lot.
It's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's it's a remarkable piece of land. Yeah.
Not to test your knowledge of current real estate market conditions, but...
but I am up on that, yes.
What do you expect to have happen to Edina?
Well, I guess if it was an easy sell, it wouldn't be put up to auction like it is now. You know, it's amazing when people build these showplace, humongous kind of places. I never understood it because Mr. Stronach's land, where he used to be at Edina, raised all of those great horses that he had, you know, at the turn of the century. Why he picked up and built
Paris,
this,
right?
It was next to Coolmore. It was next to Ashford.
I don't mean the old place.
Yeah,
the new place
is out past Paris, actually. And it's just, you know, it's one of those places that it's going to be a limited you know, clientele that, that's going to be interested in a place that's that big. And, you know, let's face it, the amount of stallion farms isn't growing. It's not expanding. It's contracting. So I don't know. If, again, if it was an easy sell, it wouldn't be an open auction going on as there is now. There's a kind of submit your bids kind of auction that I think runs
RFP.
Until May 15th, I think, is the deadline on it. So I don't know. I can tell you it's a healthy market, though. I mean, for a
well,
place
Lexington,
like that, I don't know. But
Lexington in general is on the march.
Well, and farms in particular. You know, I've had places around me go for way more than I would have imagined. And, you know, I'm actually taking a condo in Miami Beach. I'll be selling soon at these prices. So. But, no, it is a healthy market. And as people come to town for Keeneland Meet and for Derby and for Bourbon Tours and for Breeders' Cup last year and for, you know, the events at the horse park, you know, the jumping and the show horses, that's when farms get bought. Kirk Wyckoff just bought a farm here, Three Diamonds, which was a racing operation,
sure.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, it's not a huge broodmare ban, but, you know, now he's got a stallion that's standing in New York, fire at will. So he's building up a few broodmares, and they just bought a farm, you know, next to Castleton Lions. So, you know, I think the market is good, but a property like Edina Springs is such a unique kind of property that, you know, somebody messing around with a dozen broodmares is not going to buy Edina Springs. I mean, it's a stallion station, and I'm frankly surprised that John was able to sell Hillendale to Don Alberta, because the Hillendale before Alapa had one of the great stallion barns and stallion areas of all time. You could live there, you know, you would be happy to live there. And he sold it to an operation that doesn't have stallions. So it's, I don't know. I guess it's not an exact science.
Well, it has fascinated me, and I know that the concern about the green space and maintaining and not wanting too much concentration of building. This goes back a few years, but when there was uncertainty about Calumet's future, they were panic stricken in Lexington's leadership.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Courtly D on that broodmare list. Helen Alexander was the person who really spearheaded the whole preservation movement around Fayette County and Woodford County, and is very active in putting aside thousands and thousands of acres on what's it called? I want to say PDFs, but that's not right. Just in perpetuity, guaranteeing that this land remained farmland and couldn't be built on. She is incredibly active in spearheading that. So, it is a concern now. Where Edina is so far out there that I don't think that's the concern out there, because that's really it's past Paris, like Runnymede and Pam Robinson's place out that way. So that's really kind of getting out into into the interior. That's where people like you and I don't settle, actually.
I love it.
There's not a lot of Mott's in the stores out there.
We had James Scully earlier, and when he heard you were coming, he was putting in a big plug for Phyllis George for the book. We had a wonderful, in fact, we had the conversation right here. Right? We were sitting here
September. Paul Volpone and I actually did a presentation at a very prestigious place called the Filson Historical Society in Louisville last month, and it was very well received. And anybody wants to see the two yokels talk about Phyllis George for 45 minutes can go to YouTube, F-I-L-S-O-N, Philson, and look that up, and you can see the video. It's a near riot. The crowd was so worked up over it.
I love it. And
you could go to the Philson. It's right by Churchill Downs. It's actually an amazing, amazing place. Yeah.
We did something. There was something years ago. There was a draw, right?
I think there was. Yeah. I think you're right. It's right off 4th Street, which is where the... But yeah, it's and they built a new building maybe since then. It's a brand new structure. So yeah, things in Kentucky are good. I don't know how much time you have, but I'm
10 minutes
doing a story now where I've talked to people on the Kentucky racing circuit, which is now making a very large comeback.
More than that.
Turfway is apparently enjoying the best meet it's had in I don't know how long.
Yep.
The training center outside Churchill.
The Spectrum?
I forget. It's trackside.
Well, it's got four names.
It's open. Yeah, but they kept it open for the first time in 14 years.
Yep.
They kept it open this winter, so people didn't need to get barns at Turfway. They could van up and run out of trackside, and it's kept a bunch of trainers here who would normally go south, and it has made it so much better for them because their families don't have to be uprooted. They don't have to go rent the place in Tampa somewhere. They don't have to send their staff and horses out. So the Kentucky racing circuit is very healthy. But one issue I'd like to bring up to you, and one statistic I thought was really interesting, was 15 years ago, there were 150 trainers who had at least one stall, at Trackside or Churchill Downs. 150 trainers 15 years ago. That number is now 100 trainers.
I would have, if you'd asked me to guess, I would have said less. So that it
is a real problem, I believe,
no doubt,
in this industry, and it's getting worse. I would just love to see smaller trainers get a chance because these people can train and they just don't get the opportunity. And I've always been a guy who said you can't tell an owner what to do with their horse. It's their horse. They own it, and God bless them for being in the business. But, gosh darn it, I wish more of them would give some of these smaller guys a chance. And that's why I'm rooting for Ben Colebrook tomorrow. I know he's got two in the big race here. Great guy, you know, knows what to do with a good horse. And these guys need a chance. I mean, we can't keep having Buff Bradleys get out of the sport when they're 50 years old. I know he's got a good job here, and God bless him. You know, he's a great guy. But this isn't a case of age, of getting aged out with older guys necessarily. It's a case of people just being not able to make it.
Well, there's actually the age quotient is intriguing because there's some trainers that actually are, you know, older at this point that are not just hanging on to business, but they're actually gaining. I mean, and Shug is not a guy to bring up as a, you know, as a super trainer, and, you know, in terms of numbers, but Shug's bigger than he's ever been, and has got a wide, obviously, you know, when he was training essentially privately is one thing, but I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of, you know, new client base. So I mean, if you've got some people coming into the game, like the guy that owns that came in with Kathleen O, who's an older guy himself, and, you know, Shug ends up training for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, you mentioned Buff. I mean, there's a bunch of names that have come up, and it's a steady drumbeat. I saw Louis Carvalho in the paddock at Gulfstream the other day. He's working in the racing office. I mean, Chuck Simon. You know, Chuck went in a different direction.
I don't know the reasons behind. Bill Spahr, you know, is a guy who I mean,
Bill's different, though, because Bill had it up to here with the regulation and with the what essentially has been, to his mind, an incursion by management on the horsemen. And,
yeah.
I mean, we know why that is, you have to sort of accept that. But anyway, there's all different
There are different reasons.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you've had a one-third attrition rate in Kentucky. In Kentucky, which is a healthy circuit, we're not talking about California here now, in the last 15 years, and it's just not healthy. The more concentrated more horses are into less barns,
there's no doubt.
The less healthy it is,
sure.
the less races fill. It's just that it's a bad progression, and it's just one thing I'd like to put out there as something we need to watch out for.
No, it's come up, and we don't have ready answers. The industry to some degree, Lenny, you go back, 20 years or so, a little bit more, the industry seemed to be pushing potential new owners the way they were marketing. It seemed like they were pushing in a certain direction to a narrow focus. And we've also created an environment where win percentage, which was never a topic for 100 years, it was something nobody was concerned about. Then it became the end-all and be-all. And it's also not just a question of creating a structure where certain outfits draw the attention based on win percentage. It's also a problem because people aren't running horses into shape the way they used to because they fear injuring their win percentage and putting out a perception that they're not as good as the guy winning 23%. It's the stupidest mindset. It makes no sense. I mean, guys that were 14% trainers were superstars. It's ridiculous.
Well, I just thought of another example, and again, I don't know exactly the particulars, but I just finished an article for my buddy Evan Hammonds, who edits the New York Thoroughbred magazine, does a great job with that. And I was doing a story on Jeremiah Engelhart, and I'm researching the story, and 3 years ago the man had 150 horses. Today he's got 22 horses. Now I don't know why. There might be, maybe he wants to be small, maybe there are other circumstances. But, he has he certainly has one of the top New York State bred runners right now, the filly Maple Leaf Mel, who's undefeated, and is going to try open company in the Miss Preakness Stakes, it looks like, coming up next month. So, again, I don't know the particulars, but 150 to 20, it's significant. It's a big drop-off. But, again, every one of these circumstances has its own set of factors, and I get that, but I've done stories on people like Michelle Lovell in the last year. Kerry Bryan, who's a comer, she's going to be, in New York with three diamond horses this summer, and apparently has a lot going on the flat as well as the jumps. And last Kentucky Derby, why was it a great story? There's people we didn't know. I knew, the people didn't know.
Right.
And look how much frenzy and media attention is generated because it's a new, fresh story.
Exactly. That is always going to be the case. And we've had our share of those. And it's what makes, frankly, it helps the race so much fun. And there's going to be some very fun stories, including Ravelli and Two Phils, the Amistoy family with Practical Move and Tim Yakteen. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
There's nice, then there's well-known sets of connections that are, welcome back to Derby.
Cotter.
Yeah, exactly. Just got about 2 or 3 minutes. Lenny Shulman here. here closing out the week we've spent in Kentucky. It's been a delightful week. And you got a couple of opinions here about bluegrass or Ashland? I should mention there is one huge scratch, and I got an email. I had not looked at the Keeneland scratches, but our friend Lucky Larry just sent a note, and he said, big scratch, Carl Spackler.
Interesting.
Is scratched out of the Transylvania.
Well,
mammoth.
I was just going to address the Transylvania, actually, which is interesting because I like the outside horse, dude in Colorado,
yep.
Who now moves in a slot, a ton of speed. And again, it's Three Diamonds, which is a turf operation, who are now branching out a little with dirt horses, which is interesting. You know, Fletcher Trains, I read Ortiz Rides. I don't know how much betting he's going to take on that outside post, but he moves in. Main contender just scratches out. And 9-2 on the morning line, and with that post, I would expect every bit of that.
Well, 9-2 on Dude in Colorado, Nagarok for Motion, Mustache for Vicky Oliver, who's always dangerous here. I thought Rarified Flair was usable from McPeak off the synthetic performance, Web Slinger for the Cassies, and DJ, the Greens, are going to spend the day with the Greens.
Well, and I just wanted to say, and I'll shut up, Wonder Wheel and Goodnight Olive. I'm so not telling people to bet, obviously. these are going to be odds on horses. But these fillies coming back after winters, I love to see
sure.
it. You love to see whether they're going to progress or not. And best of luck to Len and Jonathan Green. And also with the great Jay Hanley coming back with Goodnight Olive after her Breeders' Cup win.
And Steve Lehman.
And you just love Keeneland April because you get to take the wraps off horses like that and Warlike Goddess later in the meet as well. So I don't mean to be...
Jenny Wiley?
Probably the Bewitch or or if they choose to go against the males in the mile and a half.
Elkhorn?
Elkhorn, yes. Yeah, so there you go.
Lenny Shulman, everybody, and Lenny staying busy for a retired guy.
Yeah. I'm chopping wood and making sure the electricity stays on. It's great.
Thanks to Lenny for stopping by. Hammer earlier, Dave Grenick, Jay Privman, Scott Shapiro, and James Scully. Brad Free out at Santa Anita. Nick Tamaro, there you go. Good luck if you're playing. I've got to make adjustments to the late pick five action because the scratch of Carl Spackler shakes things up. And don't forget, there's also the return of the $3 Keeneland Turf Pick 3 is back. And today it's the 6th, 8th, and 10th. That second level allowance turf sprint, the Transylvania, and then the Good Nightcap Maiden Special. So I'll make some adjustments, and it'll be up at the website tomorrow. I'll have a bunch of picks. And best of luck, everybody. Looking forward to talking to you from New Orleans on Monday as Tina and I show my wife a good time. Haven't done that for 3 months. Good luck this weekend, folks. Talk to you Monday.
You had to go killing all the bees.
Hey-oh!
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders